Welcome to the Consecrating Your Life podcast, hosted by me, Elena Burto, and my mom, Reina Burto. Have you ever been hurt by somebody at church? You are not alone. Today, we talk about some counsel from Elder David A. Barnard, some ideas on how to communicate when you've been hurt, and how the Savior can help us through these hard times.
Who was it that said, like, wherever there are people, there's conflict?
Oh, yeah. We had a friend who used to say that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, like, when somebody emotionally hurts you, like, it's just kind of inevitable. Like, wherever there's people, it's just going to happen. And we're going to base our episode largely on Elder Bednar's talk that he gave in October of 2006, which is called "And Nothing Shall Offend Them." And we're talking, like I said, about when somebody emotionally hurts us. So if it's physical, like, you could probably refer back to our episode on what the scriptures say about abuse. But today we're only talking about when somebody emotionally hurts you. So something that you and I were talking about before we recorded this was that, like, anytime somebody does something to hurt you, something you can think about is just to ask yourself, like, what were their intentions? Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, people who cause harm are not trying to. Maybe they're just acting out of ignorance or something. So that helps me because, like, yeah, like, most of the time, they really aren't trying to hurt you and they don't realize what they're doing. When it does become problematic is if they are intentionally hurting you. Obviously, like, there's got to be some boundaries there. But most of the time, that's not their intent.
Well, I think it happens in all of our interactions, you know. Mm-hmm. Everywhere we are, in school, at work, in the church, when we are driving. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we take offense because of other people's actions. But the reality is that sometimes people don't even realize that that their actions or their words may make us feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Somehow.
So some examples that Elder Bednar gives are, when he was a stake president, he would, like, visit people that are considered less active in the church. And so some of the responses that they would give to him when they were asked, like, why they aren't going to church. One of them says, "Several years ago, a man said something in Sunday school that offended me, and I have not been back since." Another one said, "No one in this branch greeted or reached out to me. I felt like an outsider. I was hurt by the unfriendliness of this branch." Another one said, "I did not agree with the counsel the bishop gave me. I will not step foot in that building again as long as he's serving in that position." So yeah, there was just, like, that recurring theme of that people were offended and that's why they weren't going to church. And I like that Elder Bednar would give, like, just such an Elder Bednar response. Like, he would say "Let me make sure I understand what's happened to you. Because someone at church offended you, you've not been blessed by the ordinance of the sacrament. You've withdrawn yourself from the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost. Because someone at church offended you, you have cut yourself off from the priesthood ordinances of the Holy Temple. You have discontinued your opportunity to serve others and to learn and grow. And you are leaving barriers that will impede the spiritual progress of your children, your children's children, and the generations that will follow." He says, many times people would think for a moment and then respond, "I've never thought about it that way." I just like the way that he kind of calls them out for their silliness, I guess.
Yes.
Because, yes, like, people are going to hurt you at some point, but, like, are you really going to let that stop you from the blessings that the Lord has for you, you know?
The thing is that, you know, even in those examples that he gave, if you think about it, sometimes it's just the perception that we have, mm-hmm, about something that someone said. And we actually never went to that person and tried to clarify,
yes,
what was the intention, you know, and probably even tell them that kind of comment is hurtful to me because of this and that. Mm-hmm. And many times, I think it has happened at least to me, it has happened, you know, that many times someone will say something that I didn't agree with or that it was hurtful to me. And then I just put that person in certain category, you know. I would probably think, oh, that person is insensitive or this or that. But then as time went by and I tried or circumstances put us together and then I finally got to know that person better, mm-hmm. I realized that many times it's just that we don't know people. We don't know what is in their heart. And many times people are carrying a burden. Mm-hmm. And that's why they act in certain way. So I think that we need to also give them the benefit of the doubt many times and just think maybe they're having a bad day today or maybe there is something inside their heart that I don't really know. Of course, it doesn't mean that we have to be close friends with everyone. I don't think that is the idea, but I think that we need to have an open mind and also try to see people as God sees them, you know, and that makes a big difference.
Yes.
It makes a big difference. It has happened to me many, many times during my life that if I just try to think that way, then I can connect with people that probably in the beginning I didn't think that we could be even close friends or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of why at the beginning I said that I think a lot of the times it has to do with ignorance.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be super vague with the story because I don't want to like call anyone out, but like I'll just give a concrete example of what I'm talking about. So like there was one time where somebody in my ward gave a talk and I felt like the things that they said were honestly so hurtful and problematic. Mm. And I kind of suspected that not only were my feelings hurt, but a lot of people were hurt by that talk. And I know that this person did not mean to offend anyone. That they were like trying to give an inspiring talk and stuff, but like it just didn't work. Like the language mm-hmm. that they used, like everything about it just was not hitting the audience the way that they intended to, you know? And I was like hearing this and I felt that if I just sat back and didn't do anything about it, that would also be wrong. Mm-hmm. Like I could have chosen to just be offended and never mm-hmm. come back because it was a leader that gave this talk. But no, like I just like I knew I needed to do something. And so since I wasn't in a leadership position, I decided to go to my Relief Society president and talk to her about my feelings on this talk. And yeah, as we talked, like she agreed with me. She was also very hurt by this talk. So we talked and she told me that she would communicate her concerns to the bishopric and stuff. And that was that. But so yeah, like there have been other instances where I've communicated my concerns and like things will immediately change, which is great. And I'm so like, I'm just proud of myself for doing that because I feel like if I hadn't done anything, then yeah, things would have continued to be hurtful and then no changes would have been made. Mm-hmm. So like my point with all of this is that like I fear that when some people get hurt, their solution is to just stop going to church altogether. Mm-hmm. But we can instead find healthy ways to communicate our feelings mm-hmm. and work together to find a solution.
Yes. Well, some of the beautiful principles that Elder Bednar says here, he says, when we believe or say we have been offended, we usually mean we feel insulted, mistreated, snubbed, or disrespected. And certainly clumsy, embarrassing, unprincipled, and mean-spirited things do occur in our interactions with other people that will allow us to take offense. And then he says this, however, it ultimately is impossible for another person to offend you or to offend me. He said, to be offended is a choice we make. It is not a condition inflicted or imposed upon us by someone or something else. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying is that there is no way that someone can offend us, but we can choose to be offended.
Yes.
That's, you know, we can use our agency to decide if we are going to take offense or be offended, or if we're going to do something either in our heart or to try to solve the issue mm-hmm. in the best way we can, or just pray to be able to overcome those feelings, as long as it is not abusive, you know, yes. if the relationship is not abusive.
Yeah, I like the example that Elder Bednar gives in the Book of Mormon with Captain Moroni and Bahorin. Mm-hmm. Because Moroni doesn't know the whole, like, what's going on with Bahorin, but he just, like, criticizes him for not helping out during the war. Bahorin could have easily resented Moroni, but he was like, but he just responds in such a spiritually mature way where he's like, yes, like, you kind of called me out, but I'm not angry about it, because here's what's going on here. Like, we also are having conflict over here. That's why mm-hmm. we haven't been able to help you. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, I'm just like, I don't feel like I'm mature enough to respond that way, at least not immediately. But, yeah, like, something I also thought about was that, since I have anxiety, one of the things that I really don't like about having anxiety is that sometimes I feel like people are attacking me when they really aren't. Mm. And I totally recognize that that is part of my anxiety, but it's really hard to deal with, because sometimes just like in normal conversation, like, somebody will make a comment and it feels like it's an attack on me, and it's really difficult. But in those moments, like, a lot of the times I have to just, like, I don't know, just give myself therapy or something, or go to therapy when it's really bad. But I just really, like, have to take a step back and realize, like, oh, like, this person still is my friend. Like, mm-hmm. that happens a lot more often than I'm willing to admit. But, like, so, yeah, I just have to, like, actively choose to see things from somebody else's point of view and to not be offended by it. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, I think that is a great way to look at things. Just step back and try to realize, like you said in the beginning, that when there is people, there is conflict. Mm-hmm. And usually, you know, many times it happens even with the people that we love the most.
Yes.
You know, people, members of our family, and people with which we spend a lot of time. And many times, most of the time, it's just because there are misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't know that if the person is stressed out or if there is something behind a reaction or something that they say. And I think it's wise to just pause and even let the emotions go down, you know, and then when we are both calm and we have kind of thought about it, then have a conversation that is probably healthier or grounded in the principles of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, actually, something that I literally have been looking into, like, this past week. So one of my friends told me about the Enneagram test. Like, it's a personality test that was invented by the monks forever ago. Mm-hmm. The reason that this test is helpful is because it just helps you see why, like, if you look at the different personality types, you can see why somebody thinks differently than you. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, like, for me, I really strongly believe in healing myself, which is why I speak so openly about going to therapy and stuff. But when you look at some other personality types that are different from mine, they just straight up don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, because some people, for example, prefer to just keep peace instead of, like, having conflict. So, for example, I think for those people, it would be harder for them to communicate that somebody has offended them. Mm-hmm. When for me, I don't have a problem communicating that. That has actually helped me, even just in these past few days where I have been studying about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd plan to dive deeper into that. But, like, the point is, I think when you get to know other people and how they think the way they think, then it's easier to be less offended or to not be offended because, yeah, you just realize we're all built differently. So,
yes, I think that is very important to realize that people will not react the same way that we react. They will not think the same way we think. They will not look at things the same way we do. And many times it's because of the experiences that we have had in the past, or many times it's just because, you know, we are different spirits. We are unique, each of us. And we have different ways of living and different ways of looking at life. And that is totally fine. And that's part of the plan, I think, of salvation, that our Heavenly Father created us uniquely. Each of us is unique, and we all have things to give. But we also have room for improvement, you know, each of us. We can all be better, little by little, in trying to understand each other and in trying to understand that other people are just simply different.
I think it's also just important to rant to our Heavenly Father about any problems that we're having, because like he really is always there for us, and he will listen, and he will like let you know what you need to do in order to feel better. But if at the same time, like if you're too stubborn to accept his answer, then you're not going to find peace in your life.
Yes, but it's interesting how when we have those struggles inside us, that's one of the first things that we can do, or one of the most important things that we can do, is to turn to our Heavenly Father. Someone asked me this question, a question this week, saying, you know, what should we do when we feel that our faith is not as strong as it should? And I just told this person, just talk to your Heavenly Father, but talk to him like you're sitting next to him, you know, and explain how you feel and ask him questions. Because many times, and I do this, many times my prayers are kind of repetitive. But I told him, when we are in the middle of a situation that is hard, that's when we have real conversations with Heavenly Father, because we can really open our soul and tell him how we feel. And in one way or another, he will let us know that he's listening to us, because he listens to each of our prayers. So that's a good thing, I think, that you just said, to just turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer and to tell him how we feel and to ask him to help us overcome that.
Could I also just mention something kind of on the other side of this? Because, yeah, I'm sure that both you and I have unintentionally offended people. But at the same time, like, sometimes when you're doing the right thing, people will get offended with you. So for example, like with Jesus, obviously he was incredibly obedient, the most likable person in the world, but not everybody liked him. Like some people were still super offended by him. And it's in instances like those where I really have to like turn to Heavenly Father and like just make sure like I'm still doing the right thing, right? Like you're okay with this. And yeah, like if somebody doesn't like the fact that I'm doing the right thing, then that's on them. It's not on me. So yeah, I just also felt like I needed to say that.
Yes, I think that's important. Following the Lord's example is the best thing too. It's just to remember how he reacted to things, how he responded to people, and how he always based his actions and his words and truth. And he was trying to follow and obey his Father's will. And he also, you can see how much he loved people too. Because even when he sometimes was a little bit blunt with some people, I think that he was really trying to help them see the things that they needed to see, to open their eyes, to open their ears, so they could learn truth. You know, I've been reading the First Nephi lately, and it for some reason, there is a word in there that really jumped at me in all of those chapters, and it's the word power. It's amazing how many times you see the word power in there, and it's used in a way that the Lord will give us power to do things. For example, just to give an example, when Saraya was worried about her children, you know, her sons that went to get the plates and they were not back yet. They took out some time and she was worried. And then when they come back, she says something like, I know that the Lord gave them power to do the things that he commanded them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So she's given the Lord all the credit that he protected her sons and he gave them power. So I think that we can actually try to receive that power to overcome whatever situation we are in. And that includes, you know, any conflicts or any hard interactions that we had with people. We can ask for power that comes through the Savior's atonement. He can give us power to overcome anything.
Yes. I don't know why that just reminded me. So I don't really want to spoil anything from The Chosen season 4 that just came out. Just a lesson that I got from it, though, is when you're offended by somebody, that person is actually like helping you get closer to the Lord, because you have to depend on him in moments like those, which I thought was so fascinating and such a really, really great message. But yeah, like it's kind of true. Like I even have just been thinking like maybe there was like some mission companions or just people in general in my life that at first I didn't really get along with them or something. And I was really offended by some of the things that they did to me or something.
You chose to be offended.
Yeah, sorry. but like in the end, we became friends and stuff. So it's like you can always, like the Lord just allows all of us to have second chances and to like really be able to create peace in places that you wouldn't normally think to find them. I'm grateful for like these hard experiences, because they really have helped me to like to be the person that I am and to be more sensitive to people and stuff. And yeah, I've been able to grow in ways that I wouldn't have been able to grow if I didn't have those really hard experiences. So what does this topic have to do with consecrating our lives to the Savior?
Well, I feel that if we are really trying to follow the Savior's example, if we are really trying to be like him, we have to keep remembering him, just like we promise every Sunday, you know. We have to keep trying to follow him and try to follow his example and act the way that he did or he does. And keep looking for ways to end those conflicts that we have sometimes inside ourselves, just like President Nelson has invited us to do, and to be kind and to be loving and to try to be compassionate also, to try to see other people like God sees us, because each of us is a beloved son or daughter, you know, and he loves us and he wants us to grow and to become like him and his son. And it's a quest that in which we are. And I think that just trying, to keep trying to do that, it's what makes our life. And that's how we consecrate our life to the Savior, just to try to follow him.
Mm-hmm. I really like one of the very last things that Elder Benar says, where he says, I witnessed the reality and divinity of a living Savior and of his power to help us avoid and overcome offense. Because, yeah, like, we really can dedicate everything in our lives to the Savior, including, like, all these really hurtful feelings that we have, any sadness that we have. Because, yeah, like, why would I try to overcome that by myself without his help? It's just not really going to work. It's not going to be a complete healing if I don't have him sharing that burden with me and taking it off my shoulders. So I just know that he really has the power to help us with any trial, and that he can also help us to become better people
so that we don't ignorantly hurt somebody. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. I will put a link to Elder Bednar's talk in the show notes so that you can study it for yourself. And we hope that you will follow us on Instagram at Consecrating Pod or on Facebook, the Consecrating Your Life podcast. We love hearing from you. We love each one of you. And we hope that you have a good rest of your day. See you next time.